Take your Bibles, turn with me if you would to the book of James, first chapter of the book of James. We'll begin reading at verse number 1 here in just a few moments. We're continuing our series and our study on patience, about letting patience have its perfect work in us, its complete work. Let patience work on our behalf, and what we are to do in the meantime and what we can work on while we are patiently waiting on God to do His work within us. And so we titled this series Patience, and we've kind of subtitled it I Can't Wait. Doesn't that sound like most of us? That's kind of the statement that most of us, that's our thesis statement, if you will, for most of us. I can't wait. I've got to have it now. But how many of you realize God doesn't work on our time frames? And so we may not think we can wait, but we must patiently wait upon the Lord. And Isaiah 40 and 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, there are some benefits of that. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. And so there's a blessing that comes to those who learn to wait. And so we find the lesson of patience best learned through the book of James, because James deals very directly with what so many of us go through in a very practical way. James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, he says, greetings then. And then he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So, again, don't be dismayed when your faith is tested, when you go through trials that are a testing of your faith, because the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So let patience have its complete work, that's the word perfect there, so that you would be complete and lacking nothing. Sometimes we read the word perfect and we get intimidated by that word, and we think, well, that totally knocks me off. That's not talking to me. That's not even a reality or possibility in my life to have anything to do with perfect. But that's not the way that we're talking about. The word perfect there is a completion. It's bringing to completion what God is doing. And so let patience have its complete work, that you may be complete, perfect and complete, and lacking nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So then, if you're going through this battle, these trials that are testing your faith and producing patience, and while you're in the midst of patience having its perfect work, if you're not understanding or you're lacking wisdom, then ask God. Ask God, what's going on? What do I need to be doing? What do I need to be preparing for? And God will give it to you. It's what the word says. But ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or woman suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man. He is unstable in all of his ways. So if you ask and you doubt, you take it out of God's hands, you ask for wisdom, but then you doubt God's going to hear or answer, or you begin to try to do things your way, or you won't let patience have its complete work in you, you might as well not even ask God, because if you're unstable in all your ways, double-minded, you're not going to receive the things that you need from God. And one of those things that you need from God is for patience to have its full work in your life. And so as we go through this, understand that there are assignments with every moment of patience. With every trial, there is an assignment. There is something you are going to learn through that trial. With every trial, there is a trying of your faith, and your faith then is going to produce And one thing that your faith will produce is patience. And then as we live in our assignment, patiently letting God do His work in us, then we will begin to fulfill our assignment for that moment. Because a lot of times when patience is at work, God is setting you up for what's coming next, but you need to fill the assignment that fulfills right the now moment. Okay, if that makes sense. And let me back up and try to say that a little bit better. When you are patiently going through a trial, and you're allowing patience to have a complete work in you, understand God is setting you up for something that's coming down the road, the next place. But don't overlook the current assignment that you should be involved in while patience is completing the work on your behalf. So that's what we are talking about. That's what we've been going through the last few weeks, is we've been talking about what is our assignment while patience is completing the work for us, while patience is preparing the work for us, while God's work is being prepared and we are waiting, if you will, for that work to show up. What is our assignment now? In the wait time, what things are we to be involved in? And that's kind of where this series is going from, because we spend a lot of our time waiting on what God is doing next. But we must not forget what God is doing now. Okay? So while you're waiting, while you're going through trials, while patience is completing a work for you, don't forget to be active now. So in what ways are we to be active? Well, we talked about patience has its perfect work. Okay? And so if patience has its perfect work, then we talked about impatience would also have a work. And so if we are impatient, that's also going to produce something in us. And so we talked about, and what that will produce is trouble and strife and trial, and we'll miss God's plans and God's purposes, and we'll mess up scenarios because we are impatient. And so we talked about what is impatience, and I gave you the statement that I came up with. Impatience is being dissatisfied with your current situation and apprehensive about future situations. So, and a person that is impatient is dissatisfied with what is going on right now, and they're apprehensive about what is down the road, and so they get ahead of God, or they try to do things on their own, or they can't wait on God to do His work, and they can't be prepared for what God is doing now because they are impatient, and therefore they are producing something, but it's not God's plan, it's their plan, which is chaos, trouble, strife, trial, and error. Amen. That's what impatience will get you. It'll cause you to miss what God is trying to do. So let patience have its perfect work. And so, Pastor, what do we do while patience is having a complete work in me? Well, we talked about four things. While we are allowing patience to have its work in us, we are to wait to hear what God is saying to us. We are to watch to see what it is God's doing around us right now. We are to worship, because worship is not based on our circumstances. And we are to work now, what our hands find to do now, what we have been tasked to do now. Never quit working now because you're waiting on something that's coming down the road. Okay? So we got to learn that. When you can't wait, you have to be in, and your assignment, while patience is having a complete work in you, your assignment will either involve waiting, watching, worshiping, or working, and usually it will involve all four. So while you know something's coming, you don't just check out, you check into those four assignments. You wait, you watch God, you worship God, and you work with your hands, with everything that you find. And so, while we are allowing patience to work, and we are fighting the urge to become impatient, we must deal with our dissatisfaction. Because being impatient means you're dissatisfied with the current situation. So last week we talked about dealing with dissatisfaction. And what our assignment is in that moment when we are dissatisfied with the current is we are to take that time and we are to work on us. We are to evaluate where we are. We are to evaluate our life. When you are dissatisfied with what is around you, then you need to deal with you in that moment. You need to find out why you are dissatisfied. Why your failures are bigger than God. Why your weaknesses seem to be bigger. And we talked last week about in those moments when working on yourself, while patience is working out a scenario for you, and you're waiting and you're watching and you're worshiping and you're working, one area you work on is you, and you need to be committed to covenant. You need to check your commitment to your covenant, your grace covenant. You need to have a commitment to the covenant that you live in. And so when you find yourself dissatisfied with the situation you're in, recommit to your covenant through Christ. And the second thing we talked about was you need to be committed to conviction in that moment. That deals with holiness. We took this out of 1 Thessalonians last week, chapter number 4. And so when you're working on yourself, you need to deal with your walk with God, that holiness before God, and you need to be committed, okay, in that moment to conviction. People are scared of conviction, but conviction is the Holy Spirit's way of leading us in our walk. And then the third thing we do to work on ourselves is sanctification, and we have to be committed to cleansing. That we have to constantly be bringing our vessel before God so He can cleanse us. That's what sanctification is. So that we can be used in service for Him. And so while waiting and while dissatisfied with our current situation, take that opportunity and work on yourself a little bit. Recommit to covenant. Commit to conviction. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let Him deal with you in the areas He needs to deal with you about. Commit to being cleansed. Being sanctified so you can be useful for God's purpose. Submit yourself to God so He can cleanse you. And then be committed to the gifts of the Spirit. So He can use you in whatever way He chooses to use you. So your vessel's clean. And now your heart is hungry for the gifts to be in operation. And so now He can use you and you're prepared. So that's the journey we've been on. Now tonight, we're going to talk about, what do I do when I'm apprehensive about the future? Because remember, to be impatient means you're dissatisfied with the current situation. So when you're dissatisfied with where you're at right now, begin to work on you with those four areas we just talked about. When you find yourself struggling with apprehension about the future, your assignment then is to work on your relationship with God. When you're dissatisfied with the current situation, begin to work on your life. Put your flesh down. Live according to the principles of God. But when you are frightened and apprehensive and unsure of the future, that means you're not trusting God fully. And so take those opportunities, and instead of burying your head while letting patience have its perfect work, take that opportunity to work on your relationship with God. God, I'm apprehensive. Do you know He knows when you're apprehensive about the future? He knows when you don't understand what's coming and you're a little bit worried about it or frightened of it. You can tell everybody you're not worried, but God knows if you are. And so if you find yourself apprehensive, then say, okay, I know what my assignment is. If I'm apprehensive about the future, then I'm not putting all of my trust and faith in God. I'm not really believing God's got this all worked out. So if I'm apprehensive about the future, I can't do anything about it right now, except I can work on my relationship with God. I can make sure that lines up right, and that's going to take my apprehension about the future away from me. Amen? And so when you are frightened of what tomorrow is going to hold, work on your relationship with God today, because God holds tomorrow. So remember, this is all about patience is having its perfect work. So while we are waiting and watching and worshiping and working right here where we are, dealing with ourselves, dealing with our relationship with God. That patience is out here in the hands of God by His Spirit, having a complete work around you, in you, and for you. So God is at work out here setting up, lining things up, setting things up for your future, for your tomorrow. But while you're waiting, while you're here, deal with you. Deal with your relationship with God. Don't check out in the moments between what you've enjoyed and what you feel God is doing. See, here's the problem with Christians. We want to live on mountaintops, but we do not like to go through the valley. But the reality is, you can never change mountaintops until you go through the valley. We love the mountaintops, but only God can skip on the mountains from top to top. We don't skip on the top of the mountains from top to top. We journey, and we go up, and we get up, and we love the top. Well, when it's the top, that when that job works out just right, man, that's great, right? Until it doesn't. It's a whole nother scenario. But boy, when everything's happening like we thought, well, we're on top of that mountain, that's great. But then when our assignment changes and there's something else on the horizon and we see it, and we're so anxious to get there, but we don't want to leave this mountaintop. And then when we're going through the valley, well, we'll get discouraged and we'll get depressed. And we'll be ready to throw up our hands and give up on God. Because that human nature kicks in. And where is God? I guess He's forgot about me. And I'll understand why God's putting... No, you're just changing mountains, as our general overseer so greatly can sing. I'm just changing mountains, Tim Hill will sing. I don't have a voice anywhere near him, so I'm not even going to try to sing his song. But we don't like the valley, but it's in the valley of waiting and watching and worshiping and working that God is preparing everything for that next mountaintop. And patience is having a perfect work to get us from here to there. But while we're going from here to there, there is still work to do. Work on you. Work on your relationship with God. So if you find yourself, and I want to tell you, I probably should have taught on this, a month and a half ago or so. 2 months or so ago, leading up to the election. Because, boy, we needed to hear this then. Because I've never seen so many Christians so apprehensive about the future. Amen. So, in every election season, it happens, and it seems to be getting worse. Every election season, every election season, if this one gets in, probably the day after they're inaugurated, we're going to die. I don't think we can survive. I mean, they're going to start chopping off heads immediately. They're the Antichrist, and we're not going to make it. And we run around, and we're wringing our hands, and we're apprehensive. But, well, it comes down to, who's in control in your world? See, my world, I was not apprehensive about an election because that election and that elected person is not in the control of my world. Amen. But if I'm apprehensive about what the future holds and I'm all worried and stressed out because I don't know what's coming down, then I need to take that time and I need to work on my relationship with God a little bit more. Because that's telling me something. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what my family's done. You don't know what the doctor said. You don't know what my finances look like. You don't know what's coming down the road. You don't understand what I'm going through. Maybe I don't. But let me tell you one thing I do understand. If you're worked up and apprehensive about your future, it says something about where you are in your relationship right now with God. I'm not saying it says you're a sinner or anything like that. I'm just saying it says something about where you are in your relationship with God. Right? Can we agree with that? It says something about that, because if we're that worked up about it, then somehow we've taken God off the throne and something else is up on the throne. And so we need to recognize that and begin to work on that. Begin to build the right relationship with God right now and overcome your apprehension. So let's look at that. James is going to kind of help us with this, I believe. You need to deal with your apprehension. How do we deal with apprehension? By faith and by focus. That's what we're going to look at. So here now, we're going to deal with God and His purpose while we're here. Okay, first thing you got to do. If you're taking notes, you can take notes. Here's the first thing you got to do when you find yourself apprehensive about the future. Because if you don't deal with it, you'll get impatient and you'll miss God's perfect plan. You'll jump the gun. You'll get ahead of things. You can't wait on God. I can't wait. So you'll get ahead of God. So what do you need to do? Well, here's what you need to do. In these moments when you're apprehensive about the future, the first thing you need to do. Now, these are going to be real deep. Okay, you're going to have to think really hard to get a hold of these. The first thing you need to do is you need to know God. K-N-O-W. Know God. It's the first thing. If you're going to build your relationship with God, you've got to know God. You've got to seek to understand more about Him. Because you're now working on your relationship. How many know when you're working on a relationship, you're getting to know someone better? Right? How many of you in here have been married longer than 30 years? That's how long Veronica and I have been married. Some of y'all. Okay. Here's the reality. Even after 30 years and above, you're still getting to know that person. Oh, you know them. Right? Yeah. You know them. You know a lot of things you wish you hadn't known about them probably after that long. But there's still much more to get to know. And so in order for a relationship to continue to grow, you're still getting to know that person. You're getting to know them in new seasons of life, in new times of life, in new ways of life, in new stresses of life, right? You just think you know someone after being married to them 5 years, okay? That's just long enough to get aggravated with everything you know about them, okay? It takes longer than that, and then you know, you get 20, 25 years, 30 years into it, and then you're seeing them in a whole new light. Now kids are moving out, and the house is getting more and more empty again, and you're having to learn one another all over again. Then grandbabies are coming along, and health isn't what it used to be, and you're not what you used to be, and all of those type of things. And so you're knowing each other. You're building your relationship. That's how relationships stay healthy. Okay? So with God, keep your relationship healthy. How do I know if my relationship with God is beginning to not be as healthy as it should be? If I'm apprehensive about the future, that's a good sign. Just I'm pausing for effect. I want you to think there for a moment. Where are you in your relationship with God? See, we only think, well, if I'm only sinned a couple of times this week and had to repent for it, then I'm in pretty good shape with my relationship. Well, no, that's the... What your relationship, the tales of your relationship are more about how are you feeling about your future? Does thinking of your future worry you and stress you out and frighten you and cause you to be? Then if so, get back to building your relationship with God. So how do we do that? We get to know God. Look at James 1 and 5. He says, now, so we're letting patience have this perfect work in us so we will be perfect and complete and lack nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack an understanding right now, so you're apprehensive about the future, you don't understand, I can't wait, this is getting too hard, I don't see how it's going to happen, I'm getting frustrated here. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, When apprehensive about the future and you're building your relationship with God now, get to know God better. Communicate with Him. Ask Him. Now, Emily, kind of, she had no idea that I was going this direction, but after last Wednesday, she wasn't listening to me real well last Wednesday. She was off on her own thoughts. She was a week ahead. No, she was listening. But she wrote me this stream of consciousness letter, I think it was, with questions in it of things that she just had questions about it. She wrote that, and I love my daughter. She's a lot like I am, and she said in there, "Now, Dad, I want you to think about these, and I don't want you to just give me those Christianese answers. I don't want you to just give me those real simple answers that everybody says. I want you to give me something to help understand and to back this up," right? And that's a good way to go about things, right? And so, but it was along the lines of reading the Bible and some other things that I won't go into because that may be more personal to her. But one of them was along the ways of reading the Bible for all you can get out of it and how to stay engaged and how to stay enthused about reading the Bible. And as I began thinking about that more, when we're building our relationship with God and we're getting to know God, rebuilding and knowing God and learning of God because we're apprehensive about the future, so we know something's missing, one way we get to know God is through His Word. And so we need His Word. Many Christians are apprehensive about the future today because they do not know God's Word. Not for themselves. They hear people preach, but they don't know that word for themselves. They don't have a library for themselves to build upon. They don't have a foundation for their knowledge of God. They just went by what someone else has told them about God, but they don't have that base knowledge of God's Word. And so knowing God includes knowing the Word. And I mean, no, you can't know the Word until you read the Word. And if you don't read well, then there are ways today you can listen to the Word. You can just plug it into a CD player or an iPod or iPhone or iPad or Android or whatever you want, and you can just listen to the Word. There are ways, a Kindle, there are ways you can get the Word. So don't allow, maybe you're not the best reader in the world, don't allow that to keep you from knowing the Word. You can still know the Word. Amen. And so reading the Word is very important, and communicating with God through prayer. And isn't it odd that those are the very two things that the enemy is trying to steal completely from God's people? We have no time for prayer, and we have no desire for the Word. And isn't it odd that's what the enemy is trying to take away from? Oh, we want the services. But the Word and prayer has lost priority. And therefore, we are impatient and we're apprehensive about the future. And we're unsure because our relationship with God is suffering because the ways we can know Him are missing in our life. The Bible even says no man has seen God, except the Son who came from Him. Some could say, well, Moses saw it. Well, Moses saw the Bible says the hinder parts of God. What that really means, it doesn't mean Moses saw His back. What it really means is Moses saw the afterglow of God. That God walked by and God removes the veil from off of Moses' face for a moment, and Moses just sees the afterglow of God. Because no man can see God and live in this world. In fact, Moses talked with Him face to face, and then he died, and God buried him somewhere, and they never knew where it was. Amen. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. Because when you see God in that, your flesh can't live within that place with that holy God. And so we can't see God with our eyes, and many people won't believe in God because they can't prove that God is out there somewhere. He's God. We can know Him in the ways He's revealed Himself to us. Amen? And how has He done that? In the Word. Through the living Word, His Son Jesus, and what we have of Him. By His Spirit. And He will communicate it with us through prayer. and he'll show up in our worship. So if we want to know God, then you got to take advantage of that. So let's look for a moment tonight about reading God's word. There are three ways, and there's more than this, so I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but this is what I wanted to give you. I gave this to Emily, and I'm going to give this to you. To keep you fresh in reading God's word and to keep you with a desire to read God's word and ways that can impact your life of reading God's word, there are three ways that we'll look at tonight of reading God's word. There are more than that, but there are three that are vital if you're going to know God. You read the word to find out, first of all, the concepts of God. See, in the word, there are concepts. There are things, concepts like faith, concepts like peace, concepts like salvation, the concepts like sacrifice, obedience, disobedience. There are concepts. There are ways, concepts in which God moves. And so you read the word, and I personally believe that for a new believer or someone that is maybe younger in their relationship with the Lord and maybe younger in their journey with the word, or people that seem stuck in their journey with the word, this is vital. Read the word for concepts. As you're reading the word, notice the concepts and find out more about those concepts. So if you're reading the word and you are reading about peace, that's a concept. That's a big concept that God's trying to reveal to you. So if I want to know God, I want to know about him, I want to know about his concepts. So I'm going to figure out now, okay, this is something I need to find out. God's talking about peace, so I'm going to see what God has to say about peace. And all you need to do that, get you a good concordance will do that for you. Get you a topical study, a topical Bible. Knaves has a topic. You can go right down to Mardell and get you a good topical Bible, and you can look up peace, and it'll give you all the scriptures where peace is found, and you can go look at them, and you can learn about the concept. Here's what I'm going to say to you. When you're getting to know God, and especially reading the Word, don't get caught up in just thinking, well, I've got to read this far for today. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm not saying that's wrong. But if that's the only way you read your Bible, it will not stay fresh, and you will not know God the way he wants you to know him. If the only way you read your Bible is so many chapters a day, you're missing out on the concepts. God is a conceptual God. God is a God of concepts. And he's revealed that in his word. You might say, well, that sounds like that takes time. Sure it does. Getting to know someone takes time. Right? How many know if I'm getting to know you, I'm going to need to know about your concepts, your thoughts about life and about, amen, to see if maybe if we're compatible enough to have a relationship. I got to know your concepts. Right? If I love God, and I'm getting to know someone, and I've been married a long time, so I'll go back to my wife. If Veronica and I are first getting to know each other, and I want to know more about her so that this relationship can grow, and in that I find out her concept is she has no desire for God or belief in God or love of God, and I do, then when I understand that concept about her, that's going to determine the relationship. That's what I'm talking about. When you're getting to know someone, you need to know the concepts about them. When you're building your relationship with God, he's revealed concepts about himself. See, that's the way. So read your Bible that way. Read and say, what are the concepts? That's why I tell people when they're new Christians, and I'll give them books to read and things like that, but I'll also talk to them about, here's a concept you need to understand. You need to understand the concept of grace. You need to at least have a working understanding. You may not understand it all, but you need to have a working understanding of what grace is. You need to have a working understanding of the concept of love from God's viewpoint. Amen. If we would understand the concepts of the God that we serve, if we would apply ourselves to that, we would live in relationship with God much different than we do. So when you're reading, when you're getting, you're rebuilding a relationship with God or building that because you're apprehensive about it, you're getting to know concepts. Okay? The second way you read your Bible is the way we all probably read our Bible at times, and that is just with familiarity. And familiarity with the Word is important. Reading the Word enough to get familiar with it is important. Amen? That's why it is important that you read through your Bible, do your year-long read through the Bible plans or 2 years or however long it is and read through the Bible. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. I just start and I'll just read through, but that's not the only way I read the Bible. But familiarity is important because the more you become familiar with the Bible, with the Word, the more that Word then is in you and that Word begins to come out of you just in familiar ways. It just becomes second nature. Put it again in respect to getting to know someone. If you want to really build a relationship with someone, you have to spend time with them. You have to spend time just getting familiar with them. Right? And when you've been with someone for a long time, you begin to finish one another's sentences. Amen? I can give Veronica a look and she can know what I'm thinking. Now, I'm a guy, and so I don't reciprocate that world real well. She'll give me looks and I'm oblivious, and she'll let me know that every now and then. I should know them, and if I was thinking, I would know them. But you're just familiar with one another. You know their looks. Right? So that's not wrong. You need that. No relationship is good if there's no familiarity. That's why you know, in our world today, the dangers of our society, there's many people that are meeting online and things like that, and they'll talk for hours on the phone or on a computer just getting to know someone. The danger is if you get on a phone or on a computer and you don't spend time to grow familiar with that person, when you do go to meet them, they may not be the person that they portrayed themselves to be, and you didn't spend the time getting familiar with them to know that, right? And that's that way. And if you go to the bar, you do that all the time, right? You go out and just meet people places, they're gonna put on a persona and an act, and right? I'm going to leave that alone. I'll get myself in trouble. You got to get familiar with them. You gotta get to know somebody. And so when it comes to reading the Word, how do I stay fresh in the Word? How do I build my relationship? Well, I need to know the concepts of God. I need to know not what other people say about God. What does God say? Not what the skeptic over here that doesn't believe in God says God says. I don't care what they say. That's not who I'm trying to build a relationship with. I don't care what the atheist says about God. I have no use for that. I'm not trying to build a relationship with them. I'm trying to build my relationship with God. And so I'm going to find out what God says. And where do we have that? We have that recorded in the Word. And so I need to know the concepts. I need to see what God has revealed about himself. And I need to learn those. And I need to become familiar with him. I need to just read his Word until it, thy Word will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Hide it in my heart. I'm going to walk in your Word. Let me live in it. Let it be the last thing I read at night, the first thing I read in the morning. That's grow familiar with the Word. But that can't be all you're doing. You can't just read the small talk. It's what I want to call it. It would be like trying to build a relationship with someone when all you ever do with that person is just small talk. Right? Do you really have a relationship with that kid that works at 7-Eleven when as deep as you ever get with him is, boy, it's hot out today. Yeah. Boy. Yeah, I mean, just small talk. You don't you don't really have a, and if all we're doing is just reading through the Word to say, well, I read two chapters today, and you're having a sense of familiarity, but it's just, you're not digging into that. It's just kind of small talk. You're not internalizing the concepts. Okay, so you need to read concepts. You need to read for familiarity. And the third way is, then you need to read to discover the messages. It's where most Christians never get to. You need to read until the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you the messages of God's Word. You may never stand behind a pulpit and preach those messages, but you'll preach them in your conversations to your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. Because how many of you know, when you get beyond just the small talk, and you get beyond just reading a chapter today and just trying to finish that and fall asleep about halfway through the chapter, and you wake up and you think, well, I think I read the end of it, and you just go on. When you get past that and you get into the concepts and you're beginning to understand this is how God's revealed it, and then you're reading that, and now the Holy Spirit starts talking to you about living messages that are in that Word that you've read 100 times. But that come out to you in a different way in that moment. Have you ever read the Word like that? You ever read the Word to a point to where you're reading something you've read so many times, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just hits you, and it's not just a concept, now it's a message. And you find that coming out in your communication. You find you talk about that. Your conversations involve that message that you've read. See, if you never get to that place, then your relationship with God is lacking. It's the same way with prayer. If all you ever do is the small talk prayer, you know the one I'm talking about. It's that one that we probably all do way more than we should. And that's that one where we sit down, and first things on our mind is we need to repent for all the things we've done wrong. And then for some of us, it'll hit us as we start off, well, hold on, I need to praise God for a moment first. So we give Him a few moments of praise. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for that. Now forgive me for this and this and this, and I promise I'll never do that again. And, you know, if you'll get me out of this jam, I'll never go down that road again. And amen. Oh, and I've got this need, this need, this need, and this need. Amen. And we get up. Is that an important prayer? Yes. But should that be the only prayer? No. Prayer is communication with God. I know some Christians, because they've told me this, they pray, but they never listen to see what God says. And usually they'll tell me that after I've said something about something God put in my heart, and I'll say, Pastor, you said God says it. I don't ever hear God say anything to me. Well, do you pray? Yeah, I pray all the time. Well, I can tell you what the prayer is. It's what I just went through. Because if you'll spend time, pray again over the concepts that God's revealed. Pray consistently for familiarity so that you grow comfortable communicating with God and listening for God to respond. Pray over the concepts. I want to tell you, here's a way to liven your prayer life. Take a concept. Take the peace of God and take a week and just pray over that. Thank God for the times of peace He's brought into your life. Consider with God, just sitting in worship of Him, about what that peace can accomplish. Ask God for the ways maybe you've missed His peace and how you've walked out of it. I want to tell you, if you'll start praying through some concepts, that's relationship building. Because again, when I'm talking to someone, if I'm building a relationship with George, I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to discover his concepts. The things he talks about, the themes that run through his life. I know George. And I know some themes that George and I have talked about, some concepts. George is very much, and some of it is his military background. George is very structured. I get that from talking with him and from being around him and growing familiar with the way he does things. He's got a plan and a way, and he's going to be structured in that, and he's going to set about to do that. And then George is very determined to do that when he has that structure. Those are concepts I've learned just from spending time and us talking about concepts and being together with that, right? Right? See, that's when you're communicating with God, reading his word or praying, pray over the concepts he's revealed. Be consistent so you have familiarity, so you're not just saying that one prayer over and over. If all you ever do is that one prayer over and over, that really falls into the realm where the Bible talks about vain repetition. It really does. Go beyond that. We would never do what the Buddhists or Hindu do, where they just spin the prayer wheel, the Hindu, I believe it is, and thus the prayers just fly up to God. But we do that with our prayers sometimes, because we just say the same thing over and over and over. So be familiar, but pray over concepts, and then pray through until you receive the messages. Pray until God speaks into your heart, and wait long enough for him to do that. Emily and them at ORU, they've got an amazing opportunity to do this, and I tell her that all the time. We went down there, we took her, and of course, growing up in Tulsa, we knew about it, but they've got the prayer tower at ORU. Have you ever seen the prayer tower? And you go up in there, it's an amazing place. There's prayer rooms all over the place, and I mean, you just feel the presence of God in that. And I told Emily, I said, I'll tell you, if I was here, I probably wouldn't get my homework done like I said, because I'd want to be in that prayer tower. Because it's just a place that you can really just sense the presence of God. And I'll tell you, you need somewhere that you can spend enough time with God in prayer until you sense God communicate back with you. You may never hear an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice. I've heard God speak to me in ways that seemed louder than an audible voice a few times in my life. I've never heard him speak with an audible voice, but I hear God speak to me. And sometimes he says things to me that I have to really wrestle with for a while to believe. But I know it's him speaking. And how do I do that? It's when I just wait on God. I used to laugh, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, so I don't say it much anymore because I think people took it the wrong way. But and it seems to be different now than it used to be. But I used to remember when all of us preachers would get together for times of prayer. And it seemed to me like we were having prayer matches. That's just what it seemed like. I mean, you know, everybody's praying loud. And, you know, you got your ones that you could just sit and listen to them pray. You know, they've just got the voice and they've just got the words down just right. And I mean, they say everything just right, and it's fancy, and they pray in King James English. You know, that's great. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. That's how you learn the word. That's how you're going to pray. But, you know, I mean, but it just seemed like sometimes we're having these prayer matches, and it's all about everybody talking. I mean, we'd gather for an hour to pray, and we all were speaking for an hour. Until it hit me all of a sudden, when do we listen? Right? Amen? When do we just listen? And so my prayer life began to change. It really did. It was from those moments that my prayer life began to change. And I determined, Lord, I want to listen for you. And so now I'll spend as much, if not more, time just listening for God, praying in my spirit. Oh, I still talk and pray and do those things. If we'll have prayer meetings here, you might think I'm not very spiritual sometimes, because you probably will not hear me all the time praying out loud. Because in my prayer life, I like to listen for God. No, I wasn't asleep. No, I may have been, but I'm not going to admit to it. Yeah. If I'm snoring, I probably, I've passed on over. But you got to listen. God will speak back to you. How many know God will speak back to you in your spirit? He'll speak to you through peace. He'll speak his wisdom to you. He'll speak to you through his word. That's how God normally speaks to me. It's through his word. I don't always hear God say things outside, but he'll bring scripture to my mind. He'll speak to me scripture. And he'll encourage me. But it's because I've learned to listen. I want his messages. So if I'm reading the word, and we're going to stop here. Don't worry. That's why I said I didn't want to over-prepare tonight. Or we'd have been here all night. See, what I do is I over-prepare, and I've got so much stuff. And then when I go home, I thought, I should have said that, and I should have said that. And then my wife gets aggravated at me, and she said, would you just quit saying that? So we'll just stop here, but let your reading be fresh. Read concepts. Read for familiarity. Don't stop doing that. And read for the messages. What's deeper? What's deeper? Read that parable and then read it again. Yeah, that's the obvious interpretive, but what's deeper? What's the message behind that? Well, what's the concepts we're looking at? And in prayer, pray for familiarity. Pray consistently. Pray that Lord's Prayer and pray through the 23rd Psalm and pray those consistent, familiar prayers. Pray about the concepts that God's revealed to you and pray until you receive the messages that God's speaking back to you. And keep it fresh and alive. And when you're apprehensive about the future, you will begin to build your relationship with God that'll take away the fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? You know what I've noticed? We'll travel. If I'm not with my family, I'm very nervous. Just being honest. If they travel, when Emily travels, she's back there waiting. When she travels, when she went to Uruguay, I was nervous. I shouldn't have been, but I was. I knew God would take care of her, but it didn't stop me from just being a nervous dad. I spent a lot of times praying for her because I wasn't with her. But you know what I noticed? When we've traveled and I'm with my family, I'm not afraid. Right? Because I'm with them. We're there together. And that love has cast out fear. We've got relationship now, and so the fear's gone, right? So with God, get to know him. Next week, we'll pick back up, and we'll talk about have faith, and we'll talk about remain focused. But know him. When you're apprehensive about the future, your assignment is to get to know God better than you do right now. And that's not based on how someone else knows God. That's based on where you are right now in your walk with God. And it's not based on where you used to be with God. It's based on where you are right now with God. Because if you're apprehensive about the future right now, your relationship with God right now is lacking. So build it. Get in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Communicating with God. Amen? And learn how to live with God through good and bad times. All right. I'm just going to stop there. Hopefully you'll take this and you'll do something with it. Hopefully this will liven your Bible reading a little bit. If you're having a hard time staying awake reading your Bible, then go to the concepts. Right? And when you go to the concepts, then you'll start digging for the messages. Amen.